Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you that we are not alone. And Father, I thank you that for everyone in here that may need healing in their soul, whose soul and whose mind has been vexed by stress or fear or worry or an anxiety or anger or any type of those types of things, I thank you that in tonight's service, you just bring healing to their souls. That you enable their minds to understand and to settle down in you. And to know that no matter what we go through in this life, whether it's deep sorrows or the valley of the shadow of death, that you are always with us and that you will deliver us from every harm, every distraction, and every negative situation. We love you, Lord, so much tonight. You are precious, Father, and we celebrate you in this place. We ask you, Father, to meet with us. Meet with us in our worship. Meet with us right where we're at and enable us to have times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can keep my lights just like this. You guys can be seated out there in the audience. I've got something I have on my heart to share tonight. But before we do that, we have a little announcement we want to make. It's something that is just a new season and a new thing. I couldn't be more excited. Couldn't be more excited for them and couldn't be more excited for the plan of God. How many of you know God's got a plan for everyone? Amen. He's got a plan for you. I've been so mindful of that in my own life, and not just mindful of it for myself, but mindful of that for other people, that God just has a plan, and trying to be ever more sensitive to the Holy Spirit on helping people carry out that plan and walk out that plan. And I tell you what, when you get hooked up with the Holy Spirit, it leads to just such an adventure of life because you never know what the next day is going to hold or the next year is going to hold or the next month is going to hold. But one thing we know for sure is that no matter where he leads us, past seasons have prepared us for that. Amen. And so we've got an announcement we want to make to you. And instead of me just making it, I figure I'd let those who are making the stepping out into God's plan and making that decision make the announcement to you. And then I'll come up after that. Tonight, Pastor Marcus, why don't you come up here and update the people and my mom as well. Amen. We love these guys, don't we? Let's give them a hand as they come.
Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate it. How's everybody doing tonight? Hey. Well, Paige and I just got back from Guatemala. We had a great time. Just an awesome mission trip. We had a wonderful team. And we just saw God do some amazing things. We were able to minister to so many children, build a couple of houses, and just see God do some wonderful things. You know, one of the things that God said, he said, go. You know, one of the core values of this church is to go, to be involved in missions. And Paige and I have been a part of the local church now for, I don't know, 30 plus years, serving in the local church as pastors, associate pastors, youth pastor. And we have been so fortunate to be able to come back for the last 3 years to be hooked up with this wonderful church and with pastor. And it's just been such a blessing. But at the same time, we always knew that the Lord wanted us to go. And so we've had the great opportunity to do a couple of mission trips recently, but we believe that the Lord is leading us into a new season, and so we're getting ready to go. And we're going to go to churches and minister to families and couples, and we're going to go out and help other ministries. And then we really believe it's in our heart to eventually go overseas. We really have the UK on our heart and really are looking forward to going and possibly even living there. And staying and just seeing what God wants us to do. We've got a trip in November where we're going to the UK, kind of an exploratory trip. And and just going to go over and preach the gospel. And the Great Commission says go. And we just believe that we're a part of this church and we're fulfilling the vision that God has, but also that Pastor has, is for people to go out. And some of them will go out and come back, and some of them go out and pioneer and do works. And so we're really believing that the Lord has placed that on our heart. So beginning in January, we're going to look at doing that. But we know we're going not alone, but we're going together. Amen. Because we're a part of this church. Of course, Pastor Page and Pastor Ronnie started this church so many years ago. And part of that mission was to be a church that had a world vision. And Pastor Joel has picked that up and run with it like nobody I've ever seen. Supports and gives, and this church supports and gives. And we just like to think we're fulfilling the vision of Word of Life Church. And we're going to go out and preach the gospel. We're going to go out to minister churches, minister to families, minister to couples. We got to teach some couples in Guatemala, and it was so much fun. And help marriages and help people. But we believe that a new season has come for us. But we look at it not just at us going, but we look at it at this church going. Every single one of us are going. When we go, you go. When we go preach, you go preach. Because we're part of you guys. And so we just wanted to let everybody know that. And just ask for your prayers. Ask for your support as you begin to pray for us, as you begin to upgird us. Because we really believe that this is our time and our season to do this. And so we're looking forward to it. But I'm so thankful we're not going by ourselves. We're not alone. We have the Lord. But we're also not alone. We have a church family. And we have a pastor. And we're so very, very thankful for that. Because I'm here to tell you, you can do more together than you can separately. And that's always been Pastor's vision. And we sure do appreciate that. And we appreciate you guys.
Well, it's just an honor to be with y'all tonight. In prayer today, I thought I wouldn't say anything, but the Lord reminded me of something. In 1980, when Pastor Ronnie and I started Word of Life Church in a little storefront, I'm just amazed at what the Lord has done. And I just want to say, look what the Lord has done. When we started that church, seems like forever now, but our main mission statement was to be a family church with a world vision. And that's what you are, is family. But we also know to go out into the world and preach the gospel to people everywhere. And just in Guatemala, when we were there and we were dedicating these two homes that we built, I was overwhelmed at just their thankfulness for a one-room house. But more special to me was that after we got through, we dedicated these homes, and Pastor Marcus asked these precious little villagers that we built the home for, were they born again? And they weren't. And so we got to say the sinner's prayer with them right there, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I thought, Lord, I know He sent us there to minister to a lot of people, but I thought just standing there at that time with our team and just their translator asking them about Jesus, them repeating that prayer, and I thought, Lord, this would be worth the trip. Just for one person to get born again and be in heaven. And so we just want to thank you for your love, for your prayers, and your support during this time. And I want to thank my son, who I love with all my heart, for his support and his encouragement. And just know that God loves you, and no matter what age you are, God has a plan for you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. So, you know, it's going to be months before anything happens. They're still going to be here for many, many moons, and we're excited about that. But we wanted to go ahead and communicate it so that they could begin talking about it, discussing it with people, and allowing other pastors and people to know, because, you know, when you're looking to start a missions-type work, one thing that surely helps is having a good base. And so with that, we're thankful to be a main hub of that base, and forever will be. And of course, maybe some of you, if not many of you, will find yourselves partnering up with such a fantastic ministry. And over the next couple of months, just allowing them to really locate the plan of God as to where exactly that base is going to be, and as far as setting up overseas and those types of things. But I tell you what, for me, it's something that I'm incredibly excited about. Anytime someone is stepping into something of the plan of God, there's always a great sense of joy that's accompanied with that. We're thrilled for them to be able to do it. But I'm also thrilled from the sense of, like they were saying, the goal of this church is so much larger than this property here on Lakeland Drive. We're only in the first phase of what we consider to be a three-pronged phase of ministry. And with that third phase, being a center that really makes a difference in the world. And right now we're building towards that and building a church here that has the power and the strength and the size to be able to make a difference in the world. But we don't see ourselves as making that difference through putting me on television or putting me on a jet and sending me places. What we see ourselves as doing is using the strength and the leverage from this place to help other faces and other ministries gain speed in communities. As we said, I especially in May, in prayer, the Lord has really dealt with me about John the Baptist, and I know I made mention of that he was a voice that prepared the way for even a greater ministry than his in Jesus's to come into the forefront of the Christian world and in the forefront in the kingdom of God. But Jesus had to have someone who prepared the way and made it easier for his ministry to pick up with the kind of speed it picked up, where Jesus was able to do in 3 years what would be hard for any of us to do in three lifetimes. And he did that because of the anointing of God on his life and the call of God on his life. But also he had a forerunner who made it easier for him to step over into that ministry. And that's what I feel like our call as a church is that with that, we're going to help a whole lot of missionaries. We're going to help a whole lot of ministers. We're going to help a whole lot of pastors. We're going to help a whole lot of churches that maybe in the long run are even more famous or bigger or larger than even what we are doing here. But we're going to get them at the forefront. We're going to get them at the start and pave the way for them financially, pave the way for them with partners, pave the way for them with other connections that we will have as a church because of the size that we have here. Where, you know, you take a missionary where it may be hard for them to get in the doorway of some of these churches. If we have enough size here and we have enough leverage here where those churches respect us, I can pick up and make a phone call and say, hey, would you pray about not having me in, but pray about having this missionary in, pray about having this minister in, pray about this, and getting them access into those places. And once it's all said and done, we'll not only have a large church here, but we'll have a network of churches that we have relationships with, so that when people are looking to start a mission or our missionaries that are out there now are looking to build a Bible school, they don't have to come to the States and fundraise for 6 months. I can pick up a phone and in 6 minutes get all the money they need to build those buildings. Amen. Build those churches. Build those things. That's the plan. And that's what we're building towards. And I think the best part of that, or when it's going to be in operational at its best, is when we have what's happening tonight with amazing people like my mom and Pastor Marcus and people like that who are a part of the church. We develop connections with them, and then we can send them out because we know them, and we know who they are. We know their character. We know their purpose. We know their drive. And And I see this church, and it's always been this way, but we want to make it this way on purpose, where it's a teaching church. And what I mean like that is there are teaching hospitals, where in those hospitals there's not only patients, but there's other doctors who are learning from doctors. And other men, and what we see this church is a place where there's ministers all in this place who we feel like, obviously, we pray you're ministered to. But even more than that, we equip you to go out and be the minister God has called you to be. And you go out of this place, whether it's the minister of an evangelist or a pastor or prophet or teacher or missionary, apostle, whatever it may be. But we get behind you and help you do that. But we want to get to the place where we can not only do that with just blessing people with spiritual things, but also being able to bless them with material things to help them pick up speed fast. Amen. And gain momentum. I don't know about you, but I want to hasten the return of the Lord. That's scriptural. Amen. And so with that, that's the plan of this church. And so to be able to see some of these things already come into fruition is just a beautiful thing. Now, on a personal side, obviously, it's emotional. That's different than just excitement and having grandparents here and my parents here and those types of things. They were far enough away in Wyoming now to go over to England or someplace like that. I told them, well, at least we can do holidays over in London. That doesn't sound too bad, but or wherever they wind up. But with that, from that standpoint, it is emotional. But at the same time, like I said, we're just proud of them. I tell you what, there's some things that our church has gotten in over the last couple of years that we wouldn't have gotten into had they not come. Our small groups now, we're going to talk about that a lot. But get this, and I honestly, I did not see this coming. I did not see this coming at all. But we have over 1,000 people enrolled in our small groups. Amen. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's the biggest department of this church. And I'm a big believer in a business book out there called Good to Great. And there's a principle in that book that is first who, then what. And the principle is it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you don't have the who to do it, you'll always be frustrated. And it's the complete truth. You got to find the who's before you ever decide on the what's because it takes the who's to get the what's. And we had the what in our hearts of small groups and those types of things and what's our version of life groups and didn't know who to get and who to put over it. And when it worked out where they could come down here and kind of head that up, man, I tell you what, it's worked like a dream. And it's impacting so, so many people. And it's enabling us as a church that grows to be more effective and efficient at pastoring the people who come into this church like never before. We're getting to the place now where it's going to take a whole bunch of people to minister effectively to this body of believers here. And we need your help in helping pastor these people, especially those of you who've walked with the Lord for many years. You've forgotten more word than people who are just now attending this church will pick up over the next 10 years. And they need you to be a supply, and we want to entrust that word to faithful people, like Paul wrote to Timothy, who will go out and teach other people as well. And so it blesses me. It blesses me to see people leading groups. It blesses me to see people in groups, because I really believe that you can sit in a pew all day long and not see a whole lot of change in your life. But when you get in a circle and you get outside of a row and you have to look people in the eye and share the journey you're on and talk about how the word is impacting your life and give your example and have your voice be heard, I think it helps facilitate life change in a speedier way than anything we've ever done before. And so a huge, huge part of that success rests entirely on their shoulders. And with that, we're going to invest in that department like never before with staff and things to help cover for them. They'll be in the still a part of it for months and months. Like I said, they're not going overseas tomorrow. It's months and months and months and months away. And so they're going to help us make sure nothing falls through the cracks there and be a part of the system and all those things while we staff it. And we're going to staff it with more people than we've ever had in it before, just because it's the largest ministry that Word of Life has now outside of our weekend services. So with that, a huge, huge credit to that. And then with altar calls too, our aggressive altar calls, that we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people be born again. All of that came from Pastor Marcus and his idea for that, his anointing for that. It's just been amazing the supply that they have been to us and the supply that they've been to me and to this church. And so we're just going to return that and being a supply to them in any way that we can. But with that, we just wanted to make you mindful of that. And so obviously, as we get closer and closer to the date where they get sent out, we'll pray over them and bless them and take them an offering for them, let them talk about what they've settled on and where they feel like God is leading them. But we wanted to give them the chance to go ahead and communicate it where you guys could already be covering them in prayer and those types of things, and just be in agreement with them. I had something I want to share tonight before we dive back into worship. I've been praying for some time now about a series that I feel like the Lord wants us to do. I think we'll do it sometime next year. The title of the series is Humble Beginnings and Huge Mistakes. How to live a life effectively when you come from humble beginnings and you've made some huge mistakes. And I think we'll get to the huge mistakes part around Easter time. We'll see. But with that, I had it big to just go and study the life of David because David came from humble beginnings and David made some huge mistakes. But he was still a man that God could use. Aren't you thankful that even if you've made some huge mistakes, you're still a person? Amen. You're still a person that God can use and that God can bless. And so just in my own private personal devotionals, I've been really just going after the life of David. And I tell you what, it's been rich. My time with the Lord, especially even this morning, just been so rich in studying this life of this man and how he was used by God. And his journey starts, you know the story, he's sitting in a sheepfold while all of his other brothers are being interviewed for the position of a king. He is not thought of to even be put in that position. So he's out keeping the sheep while all of his other brothers are there. And you know the story. Basically, the prophet Samuel goes in front of all those other brothers and thinks, surely this is the person God is going to use and God is going to bless. And with each person, the Lord came back with, no, that's not him. And the Lord had to tell Samuel, I don't see as man sees. For man sees on the outward appearance, but the Lord, he says, looks on the heart. And that's just in and of itself just such an important message. You got to keep your heart clean. You got to keep your heart right. And there was a man who had a good heart, just had a good heart, and that man was David. And with that, the prophet said, do you have another son? And he said, yeah, he's out there keeping the sheep. And I love this. I just noticed this today. He said, go get him, and we will not sit down until he comes. And the next verse says, the Lord speaks unto the household, arise. So I guess he was taking a little too long, and they all sat down because the Lord had to tell them, you need to stand up. But with that, if you can pull up that scripture on the screens, I just want to point out something in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. It said, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him being David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to the R place. Now notice this phrase. It's right in the center there. I didn't notice it until today, and the Lord started dealing with me about this in my own life. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward, or you could say from that day onward. The Spirit of the Lord was on David from that day onward. Now, when you track and you read the rest of David's life, you talk about an adventure, man. I mean, from killing giants to running for you from an enemy and running for your life and overcoming setbacks. And I mean, just so much stuff happened in the life of David. He saw so many miracles. He saw so many breakthroughs. He saw abundance. He saw the hand of God. He just saw so much. And I got to thinking, I wonder if he woke up the next morning mindful that the Spirit of the Lord was on him. I wonder if he woke up and when he saw the giant slayed, and he took his sword back to his own tent. And when he got the spear thrown at him from Saul and was running for his life, and when he saw the great return at Ziklag, when God came and just completely changed a disastrous situation, I wonder if he woke up and he realized that it was the Spirit of the Lord on his life that was helping him do all of that. That it wasn't just David being so talented, and it wasn't David just being so ruddy or handsome. That it wasn't just his giftings and it wasn't just his talents, but it was the Spirit of the Lord on his life helping him produce the results that he was producing. And I got to thinking about our lives. I wonder if you've woken up here recently mindful that it's the Spirit of the Lord that's been on your life that has enabled you to be where you're at today. That it's the Spirit of the Lord that's on your life that's going to help you go where you need to go and do what you need to do. That's the Spirit of the Lord that's on your life that can change the situation that you're in. That it's the Spirit of the Lord that is in your life and on your life that's the uplifter of your head and the giver of vision and the giver of strength to carry out that vision. And I want us all to be mindful tonight that we have that. If you're a born-again believer, and if you're especially filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the same thing David did. You have the Spirit in you, and you have the Spirit on you. And just like in David's life, it wasn't that he was so uber-talented. His own father didn't know or didn't think that David could be the one who would be the king. His own father, that thought didn't even cross his father's mind. So with that, it's not like he was such just a special of a guy or special of a man that he was able to do this amazing life. He was able to do it because the Spirit of the Lord came on him that day until the end of his days. And in your life, it's the same way. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord, He is in you. The Spirit of the Lord, He is on you. And He can help you live an amazing, amazing life. And I just want to encourage you to tap into that. Well, how do you tap into it? I think David shows us the key. David was a worshiper. I mean, in David's best moments, he's praising God. When he's bringing back in the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, he's dancing before the Lord as God. He worshiped and he praised like no one else in the good times. But then, friends, even in David's darkest life and darkest hours, with just all this negativity around him and destruction all around him, David put on the ephod. He would put on the garment of a worshiper, and he would just worship and praise the Lord as God, and the Spirit of the Lord would always come on him and just change that situation around. We see it, what's interesting, in the following verse, even after the verse we just read, there was a man who had the Spirit of the Lord come on him at one time, and Saul, but he just never cooperated with that Spirit. Saul was not a worshiper. He knew worship was the answer, but he was expecting someone else to do his worship for him. So he called in David. And David would come in there and worship. And when David would worship, Saul would get free. Saul would get this energy and this life and this vitality back to him, back to his life, back to his kingdom. It came from worship. But he didn't know how to maintain it in his own life. And it would slowly creep back in, that bondage and that darkness and that heaviness would just slowly creep back in. And he'd wind up exactly where he was before the worship. And he'd have to call David again to come and bring the worship to him. He knew worship was the answer, but he just wouldn't worship in his own life. I want to encourage you that if you're living in heaviness, you need to worship. Worship taps into the Spirit of the Lord. It's like the anointing oil that was applied on him, on David that day. It tapped into something. It was symbolic of the Spirit of the Lord coming on him. And I just want to encourage you that nights like these and times like these, it's where we press into the presence of God. And I pray that tonight you're more like David than you are like Saul. I pray that tonight you take it upon yourself to worship, to tap into the presence of God, to tap into the refreshing that comes from His presence, to tap into the anointing that's found in the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight that you're more like David and you make a decision to tap into it. And I pray that all of us were less and less like Saul, where we expect for someone else to be perfect at worship before we worship, or a CD to be played before we tap into it, or something else to happen before we engage in the presence of God. I pray that you become less and less dependent upon them and less dependent upon anything out here. And just from in here, you give gratitude to God. This morning, just sitting in my our little guest bedroom, that's kind of my office as well, and I'll sit in there, and just I have a little chair in there that I sit in, and I just begin to worship the Lord, and just felt just such a peace and such a presence just fill me up and energize me, and creativity come, and I'm taking out my prayer journal and writing stuff down, and the Lord's speaking. Well, why? It's always there. It's like a pinata in a room. Everything, all the candy, it's in the pinata, man. It's right there in the room, but you got to break that thing open in order to get the candy out. It's not enough to have it in the room. You got to beat on that thing until the thing that's in the pinata comes pouring out. And that's the thing, because God is in us. All the power you need, you don't have to wait for it to come. It's in you. It's on you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He is dwelling literally in your mortal body. You can tap into it anytime you choose to. And tonight, I just want to invite you to choose to worship the Lord with us and allow His presence to quicken your soul. Amen. Amen. So let's stand all over this place. Let's get into worship. I'll pray and lead us there. Father, we come before you tonight and ask you, Father, for each and every person that is in this place to dive into your amazing presence. And you said in your word that when we would draw near unto you, you would draw near unto us. And we ask you, Father, tonight to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.